Welcome to John's 70s Living Room. That's a good name for a podcast.
That
though,
is, actually.
It?
Should we start it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I wasn't alive in the 70s, so I feel it's slightly presumptuous of me.
You must only just. Yeah, I was born in 76.
Yeah, you're not responsible for anything that happened in the 70s.
No, I did nothing bad in the 70s.
You were around. You were just another silent witness, weren't you, Angela?
I was, John,
just
yes.
Standing by, watching the 70s happen, and in the 80s, everything was great and no one did anything wrong. Yep. That's my recollection anyway. It's the podcast of The John Richardson Show. It's our first show back for the new year. Oh. Angela fighting fit.
I felt so good today because the last podcast we did, I was not in the room. I mean, I was in the room, but I was not in the room.
Not medicated at all today.
None at all today.
She's passed the urine test. I mean, I wish you'd brought in the sample in the jar as requested, but, you know, we
look,
can
my
absorb
hands
it from
don't
the
leak.
Carpet
I
if
had
needs
them
be.
Cupped really well.
thank you for all your interactions. All the usual stuff is in there. I love you, but news that wasn't in the news. And, of course, the final smugness.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, smugness. So,
goodbye, smugness. New feature starting next week. Stay tuned for that. But first of all, enjoy this week's show and we'll see you after it.
This is The John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
So good morning, happy Saturday. John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello.
And producer Dave.
Hello. Where's producer Will, John? Where is he?
Somewhere on the high seas, isn't he?
Oh, isn't he? Captain Will.
Captain Will away. I won't reveal. I nearly revealed the finer details of a WhatsApp conversation we had the other day. But he's away celebrating his mother's birthday. And I texted him on his mum's birthday to say, wish her a happy birthday from me. And he said, I will when I see her. I've snuck off to have a few beers and watch the football.
So, oh, she's a lucky lady, Debbie.
She's a lucky lady. Anyway, Dave is here and is wearing a fetching grey and white jacket for anyone who's interested.
A what?
And listeners.
Oh, a jacket.
A jacket. That's the term,
okay,
isn't
that
it?
That sounded rude, but it's not, is it? No.
It's not rude, and that's why we're still here. Still broadcasting in 2026. When I lose it, I'm going bigger than that, don't you worry.
Oh,
there'll
yeah.
be no ambiguity about whether I'm being rude or not when I press the button. Anyway, if you weren't here, before Christmas, we've had a couple of weeks off. Maybe you couldn't be here all of last year. You will not know that the John Richardson Show is, whilst it's not the cleanest show on the radio, it is the tidiest, and we always kick off with a little review of last week's show. This actually is a review of last year, so this is what our producers feel was the highlight of last year's output.
Angela, for your record attempt, you achieved a grand total of 3 Ferrero Rocher eaten in 1 minute.
To call that the highlight of the year, a woman eating 3 chocolates.
Yeah.
Wow, that says a lot about this show.
Would you like to tell listeners what your target was in a minute?
My target was 9, John.
Yes. Did you manage the other 6 at some point over the festive period?
I imagine I managed more than 6. Father Christmas
Excellent.
Got me a giant Ferrero Rocher in my stocking.
And is it, is it an actual giant Ferrero Rocher?
No, it's a hollow... But I know, disappointing.
You never get over that as a kid, thinking you've got a tube of giant jelly tots. Oh. And it's just a lot of little jelly tots in a big tube.
Right, or the Easter egg disappointment that it's not solid chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
The Easter egg.
I just got chili sauce this year. It's very the last couple
Did
of
you?
Years. It's been it's been. I'm a whiskey and socks guy, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
This year, it's like everyone got together and said, let's finish him off this year. If we all get him chili sauce, at some point his intestines will explode. So, you know, that'll be something to listen
so
to
could
through
you,
the year.
That's why you're sitting so far away from me, so you can't breathe on me. I respect that, John. Thank you.
Speaking of the safety of my digestive system, last show we wrapped up our Real Music quiz. That was my ongoing effort to show those in charge at Absolute that Real Music really does matter to both myself and Angela
Very
and everybody
so.
Involved with the John Richardson Show.
It does matter a little bit more to me, though, doesn't it, John, it turns out, than it does
it
to
does.
You?
It does. You need it more. You know, I've got other stuff going on with the music. I love music, of course I do, but it's very much a sort of casual relationship we have. Music gets in touch with me. If I'm free, sure, we'll hook up. Anyway, I asked you to suggest some forfeits for me to do in the wake of my defeat, and here's what we decided on. 9-year-old Toby suggests sucking a lemon until it's dry is your forfeit.
Ooh, that's quite a lot of sucking.
I don't mind doing that. I don't mind that. Shall I do that one in
until
the new year?
It's dry.
Yeah, I can do it. I do it across the 3 hours.
How will you know when the lemon's dry? Like when it's completely desiccated.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, or I will be. I'm just unable to broadcast. It's just my mouth will be so puckered, I'll just make a whistling sound that only dogs can hear.
Some say that about your voice anyway, John, to be fair.
Yeah, true, true. I'm very popular with dogs, actually. More popular with dogs than people. Everyone that hangs around with me eventually says, dogs really like you, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't know what it is. Pheromone thing. Real dogs matter. I'm going to do that next week. Okay. Tune in next week for me to
that's great radio, that, isn't it? Tune in to hear me suck a lemon.
Suck it dry.
That's
now,
getting
New
out.
Year. Oh, no, I fully support that decision. You can see you reaching for the scissors now, Dave. Now, a new year means change a lot of the time. While we were away having a little Christmas break, we received this request for change from Gemma.
Hi, John. Happy New Year to you and all the team. I just wanted to reach out to see if in 2026 you'd be open to branching out into more departments of the Literal Police. If this is something you consider, I'd really appreciate a hyperbole department. I'm sick and tired of people overusing hyperbole. I hope that something can be done.
Oh, we're all guilty of it, though, aren't we?
Well, it's tricky, that one, isn't it? Because for one thing, it's very hard to... I mean, literal is, I think, it's easy to say that as an incorrect
use. It's black and white, isn't it? It's either used correctly or it's not, really.
Hyperbole, how do you know how much somebody else enjoyed a thing?
One man's hyperbole is another man's description, you know.
Even in her own message there, Gemma said, I'm sick and tired of it. Well, have you been sick?
Yeah.
I don't think you are. Unless she's actually vomited at hyperbole, or she's like or she's bedridden. I'm not going into work today. Someone's going to say they had the best Christmas ever, and I'm just going to end up smashing the coffee machine up. So... I'm here to criticise. If she's got examples, we've tied up all the loose ends from last year's output. You want to know what's going on this week, don't you?
I want to know what's going on this week, John.
Is that what are you finished? Of course not. We're going to do mainly the same stuff we were doing before. So I love you, but back for 2026. This is a show that if this is the first time you're joining us, we're not really a shout out kind of show, are we?
No.
It's not really a celebration. Yeah, if you love each other, that's fine, but keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't put it on the airwaves.
It's embarrassing for everyone.
So we do one dedication a week, but you have to say something that you don't like about the person that you're getting a shout out for. Mm-hmm. That will be at the end of this hour. News that wasn't in the news that could, would, or should have been in the news is back. News is very bleak, isn't it? A little moment to celebrate some of the more fun things that perhaps don't get the airtime, but perhaps could, would, or should get the airtime. Literal Police, this is what we're all here for. Let's not muck about. Gemma requests that we branch out into hyperbole.
It's not what they want. They literally want Literal Police.
If the literal thing had stopped, I heard one on my way in this morning.
Did you?
Somebody on the phone. I didn't intervene.
You didn't do a citizen's arrest?
Still, well, it was one of those opinions based ones. It was, you know,
tricky,
But I think I don't know whether she was trying to goad me. Perhaps she clocked me coming and she thought, "Hang on, I'm going to drop one in, see what he does." I'll let it go. But
did they say
sadly,
Leeds United are literally the worst football club in Britain? Did they say that?
Oh my! I mean, we can talk about. I'm not.
Sorry,
there was a game this week.
I've wound him up. I'm sorry.
Leeds United 3, Newcastle 4. I felt about that game the way I haven't felt about football since I would say I was 15 years old. The anger inside me, I was so disappointed with myself. And it's everything people say about what football fans are. You know, when people say, I don't like football, they're picturing the way I reacted in my own living room to the fourth goal going in. I was.
Did you get
very...
angry? Did you let it change? Because that's when it upsets me, is when it changes your mood and your interactions with other people.
Well, luckily it was night and everyone around me had gone to bed.
Right,
so
good.
There was no one to be upset other than a sort of farting pig, which I'd bought my daughter for Christmas. luckily I pressed that, it farted and it giggled and I felt better again. Anyway, Literal Police will be back. We've got an iconic British TV show to bring to rights this week.
Great.
And an offence from somebody that we on this show know very well. As ever, if you spot a literal offence, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. So you're listening to John Richardson and a fully fit Angela Barnes, is that fair to say?
I'm getting there, John. I'm certainly more with it than I was on the last show we did together, where I think it's to say I was a little bit post-operative.
You were very heroically in the studio. Was it less than 48 hours after
your operation? Yeah, it was. It was about 36 hours after my op, I think.
Pretty stellar. But I don't know what they gave you, but it looked delicious.
Yeah,
you were
I was away with the fairies.
Yeah.
I barely remember doing the show. The next day, I my husband listened to the podcast and he said, oh, that bit was funny. I said, I don't remember it.
I just assumed you'd been drinking.
Well, it was that as well, obviously, you know.
How was your Christmas and New Year?
Very relaxed. I put my back out. But apart from that, I think 2026 is, I've just got it all out of the way now, the health things. So I'm feeling healthy. I'm going to get back to the gym soon once my hernia recovery is finished. It's all going to be fine, John.
Yeah, that's a remarkable bit of bravery for someone to say, I think I've dealt with everything.
Surely you can touch all the words.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going into 2026 saying, well, do you know what? I think the worst is definitely over. I think that's absolute craziness. Have you gone back? Shall I tell you something that might surprise you?
Yeah, go on.
My Christmas tree is still up.
No. Are you joking?
Yeah, I went to take it down and then I thought, what am I doing that for?
Because you get bad luck, John.
No, well, you can have it.
Oh, thanks, mate. Is that how it works? Now, I tell you what, if I fall down the stairs on my way out of here, you're going to feel so bad. And I'll be like, well, John Richardson shouldn't have left his decks up till the whatever it is of January.
The question is, though, will I feel worse than if I fell down the stairs? That's really,
do you know,
that's really what's at debate here.
Yeah, no, I don't think you will feel worse.
No, I wouldn't feel as bad. No.
I've I'd just had a flashback, John. We had this conversation this time last year. You left your Christmas lights up.
Yeah, I'm
what
all for it.
What is going on?
I think January. No. I mean, if you're doing dry January, then kudos to you. But I think January is dry enough. It's dark, it's bleak.
I like January. I like that sort of feeling of a fresh sheet of paper. Take the decks down and it makes your sort of your home, your living room look a bit like, and I think the listeners will know what I mean when I say this, but you know when you take all the decks down and it's like your living room's had a Hollywood wax? Do you know what I mean? Like, it just looks bare.
I don't like that though. I want my living room to look a little bit more
like
1970s. Yeah, absolutely. I want a bit of character in there. Don't get me wrong, I've taken down the foil garlands. They've gone. All the toys have gone. I've got a massive pink reindeer with candy cane antlers. That's gone. You know, the obvious stuff.
All the classy stuff's gone.
The classy stuff's gone. Well, I take my daughter every year. We go to B&M and the Range and Home Bargains and that. Aww, and we look for the tackiest thing that we can put in our house that year. And she was very excited this year. My daughter, she said, I found it. And she came running down the aisle with a... it's a sort of Hawaiian statue of Santa with flip-flops on, holding a sort of coconut cocktail.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's joyful. All for the tackiness of Christmas.
I do. I don't like a neat. I don't want my house to look like a department store at Christmas. I want it to look like Christmas has thrown up on my house. That's what I want it to look like.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you've got to take it down. You can't keep it going forever. Otherwise, then it just, where's the joy when you put it back up?
I think it'll come down some point in January, but I think I'm leaving it. I want fairy lights in my house.
I'm going to keep the fairy lights. Yeah.
No, that's true. The tree needs to go.
Is it a real tree?
No.
No.
Old tree. Well, all right. Here's the full confession. I've got 3 Christmas trees still up in my house.
Wow. Someone's doing all right.
They're all next to my bed. Can't get in there. It's crazy, really. I sort of bury myself underneath like a little rabbit. It's like sleeping in a warren. I got one in the kitchen, one in the lounge, and one upstairs. And they're all still there.
Wow. Where upstairs have you got one? Hang on, who has a Christmas tree upstairs?
It was in the landing, then it got moved into my daughter's bedroom.
Oh, that's quite sweet. I'm quite
a sweet guy.
You are.
I didn't know how to deal with that, so I just agreed with you, and I think I've made it weird. Anyway, across the network, people are celebrating their achievements.
It'll
their
be
love
even
for each other.
Worse this week, though, won't it, John? Because it'll be all the I've joined a gym people.
Yeah, all you that's know? Going on. Ugh. Yeah. Congratulations. Big shout out for anyone who's done their first Tough Mudder this morning. If you've run 5K, let me tell you this, if you've run 5K this morning, the John Richardson Show does not care.
Right. If you are in bed right now and you are not doing dry January, you are our people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All you've done is ruin someone's quiet walk in the park.
Yeah.
I hope you're proud of yourselves.
And, and probably your local pub won't survive.
After the news... Ah, that
well,
hit me late.
Well done.
yeah. I'll give you news of my new pub series, which is coming later.
Oh, yeah.
After the news, I will tackle head on things that people are proud of themselves for in the final Saturday smugness section for the John Richardson Show. But first of all, we like to tease out the misery in your lives by inviting you to be directly hostile to the people nearest and dearest to you. It's I Love You But, where you get one dedication, but you've got to say something mean about the person it's for. And this week it comes from Jack.
Hi, John. Thank you for giving me this week's one and only dedication. Really appreciate it. And I'd like to give a shout out to my amazing wife, Abby. Thank you for everything you do for me and our little boy, Del. Del's a 2-month-old Labrador puppy, by the way, Del boy. We both love you, but can you please, please, please stop buying those cheap, eco-friendly dog poo bags? You know the ones? Put your finger straight through them. For the fourth time this week, I'm picking Labrador poo out from under my fingernails. It's not the one. And things need to change. Lots of love, your husband, Jack.
Well, I hope no one was eating their breakfast, to be honest. Yeah.
What is better for the environment, another bag or just double bag the eco ones? Genuine question.
I don't know.
What do you do with Tina?
We do have the eco ones, but Tina's very dainty, so it's not, you know, a great mass to collect, if you like.
Yeah.
I do think, though, like, they've got a pup called Del Boy, presumably short for Derek. And Derek and Tina sound like they belong. Like I can see them sat in a Cortina with their names above them on the sun visor, Derek and Tina. So I think they have to meet. But yeah, no, I think eco-friendly ones, just double bag them. Because
double
that's still
better.
If they're compact, I can't say it. If they're compostable, then you can use two, can't you? It's fine.
Absolutely. So are we reversing the decision or are we criticising Abby?
We might
Abby?
Be, though sounds I will like say... I couldn't listen to a lot of what Jack said because I loved his accent. It was a bit of West Country there, wasn't there?
I was trying to place it. I don't think it's full Bristol.
It might be Devon.
Oh, do you think it's further down?
I think it might be further, or maybe sort of Somerset, maybe.
Well, I would say if we follow our noses, given the information we know about him, we'll probably get to him eventually.
He's the one with the dirty fingernails.
Yeah, if you see a man crying buying fingernail cleaners, then it's probably our friend Jack. I'm not going to reverse it just because it's not in the spirit of the new year. So this is for you, Abby. But if you wouldn't mind having a word with Jack about trying to save the planet and double bagging the dog poo bags.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
Welcome back. You are listening to the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio with Angela Barnes.
Hello. I love the way you say that with, like, Angela Barnes, like if we're in a circus. I like it.
It's a good name to celebrate. Now, it's the end of Saturday Smugness, but we thought we'd give it one last shebang. This is where I invite people to say stuff that they've achieved, that they're proud of over the Christmas period, and I'm mean and nasty about it, just to get it out of my system. To set the context, here's why I don't get to be smug about anything. Can I show you my middle finger?
Oh, please do. What, again? What have you done? Oh, John. Oh, should I describe it to the listeners?
Yeah,
he's got
on.
A little like little blood blister thing under your nail, haven't you? Did you shut it in a car door or something?
I injured myself during a particularly frenetic game of hide and seek with my
goodness.
Daughter.
Where we've did you cupboard. Hide?
Well, we've got a cupboard that is about halfway up the wall. So I thought, she's never going to think I can get in that cupboard. Not at my age. So I asked for a little bit of extra time. It's usually 30 seconds. I said, give me a minute. I've got a really good one. Huffed and puffed. Just about got my way in there. They realised I couldn't shut the door. So I pulled the door really hard from inside. Slammed my finger. I really wanted to scream, but I knew that would give away. I thought, you finally got in the cupboard now. So I was just sat in an airing cupboard on my own going,
That's how committed you were to beating your daughter at a game. You're
not
one of these parents, are you, that are like, oh, I'll go easy on her because she's little. Is it? She's got to learn.
Well, the whole point of hide and seek is that little bit of fear when they don't know where you are. And then when they open the cupboard door, you go, Anyway, a couple of days after that, went to record a little video message for someone on the piano, pulled the piano stool in a little bit. The piano stool lifts up so you can keep musical notations underneath. Put my finger underneath the hinge. Sat down on it, full weight.
Weight,
back down on the finger. Absolute moron.
The same finger?
Same finger, yeah. And I caught the one next door as well with it.
Do you know what's most shocking about that?
Yeah.
Is that you've got a piano.
I know. I
do
thought
you
I would
it?
Learn by osmosis.
Just by being in the room.
Yeah, I just thought if it's near me, I'll get good at the piano.
How's that going?
It's more of a sort of electric keyboard, really, and it's not going well at all. But it's important that when I'm sat watching telly, I feel deep shame. Because I think if you're going to watch First Dates Love Island, then you might as well be staring at a piano, knowing that you could be spending your time a lot better. Mm. So that's the sort of worthless piece of mess that I am. This explains why I'm going to be nasty to you. So, Angela, what are you proud of that you've achieved?
So, well, John, I did something this week, which is something I always mean to do. I always have the intention to do, but rarely follow through. And that is, you know, when your bananas go off and you're like, I'm going to make a banana cake. And then you don't. Yeah. And then you throw them away. That's what usually happens. This week, not only did I make a banana cake, I realised we had a load of leftover walnuts from Christmas. So I made a banana, walnut and chocolate cake.
So I made it
cake.
Disgusting.
Well, you did make it. Don't you like walnuts?
Oh, not in a cake.
What, banana or walnut cake? That's a classic.
It is a classic.
Dave wants some. You'd eat my cake, Dave's wouldn't you, Dave? Yep, producer Dave will have some of my cake.
She will bring you some in as well, so be careful.
Yeah, I would if I hadn't eaten the last bit this morning.
And you've eaten it all?
Yeah, we've eaten it all, yeah.
Okay, that's a sign of a bad cake, I think, when you can't give it to anyone else. I think that's a secret admission that you know it wasn't.
I didn't eat it all myself. My husband and I have eaten it between us.
Yeah, I think if you're not taking it out of the house, it's an admission that it's a disgusting cake. And I think congratulations on finally catching up to a thing that everybody was doing 5 years ago during lockdown and has moved on. You've really triggered some really unpleasant... I think for most listeners, the last time they talked about making banana bread was during one of the worst times ever to be alive.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Congratulations for bringing that back for everyone. Congratulations for making a cake so disgusting you couldn't bring any in for anybody else. And I wish you all the best with your new year.
I'm going to really
you've
miss
already
this
stated.
Teacher. Really miss it.
We are puncturing the smugness of a nation that frankly deserves it. Things have been too good around here for too long.
Yeah.
Everyone's been saying it. People, it's really great, isn't it? Switch the telly on, you just think, oh, everyone's having it too good. I hope an angry little troll will use his opportunity to address the nation, to be mean
There's
to people.
There's so many
met.
People in the nation right now feeling they've kept to their resolutions for a whole week, John, week and a half.
Absolutely. People
are
flying.
And you're going to bring them down.
Loving January. There's been a bit of snow this week. Everyone's had to trudge around. They're just absolutely buzzing with the joy of everything. And what they need is me to make it even worse. Well, this week, somebody's got in touch who wants me to bring down somebody who's been feeling smug. And it's Ella.
Hi, John and Angela. Hope you had a good Christmas and Happy New Year. I had a particularly good New Year's and I'm still feeling very smug about it. I normally go away with friends for New Year's. And the night itself is normally a bit of a session. But there was a twist this year. I'm pregnant, so I didn't join in on the drinks, but I thought I'd feel a bit left out. But actually, it was really great, partly 3 till 1 a.m. without doing anything embarrassing or regrettable. Saw the new year in, the fireworks, and then I got up at 9 a.m. and I decided to go on a 5K run to take in the new year, knowing how the others would be feeling. So I ran to the local McDonald's and grabbed them all some greasy breakfast and ran it back to them. And then played board games all day and I won every single one, thrashed them at Uno, obliterated them at Monopoly and took them to task at Taskmaster. Smug doesn't even cover it. And I have to say, I think it's probably because most of them were hungover, but I'm still taking it as a win. Yours smugly, Ella.
Wow.
I tell you what, if I could have just filmed your face when she talked about doing a 5K run on New Year's morning, that would have been this feature absolutely put to bed in the most joyous way possible.
Well, I mean, there's going for a 5K run, but on New Year's Day, that is too much. And also,
first thing.
Ella's pregnant, right? That baby did not consent to doing a 5K run. And it's just been taken on one against its will.
Yeah. That's 2.5K each, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, that baby took some of that slack, didn't it? I reckon.
And I reckon as well, the McDonald's. I think McDonald's goes cold faster than any food on the planet.
Yeah, so, you don't run that fast, Ella, not with a baby on board.
All you've done there is take a load of hungover people and force them out of guilt to eat a cold sausage and egg McMuffin to start off their new year. That's not a charitable act. A cold wet egg on New Year's morning when you've got a hangover.
I will say as well, Ella, John's being particularly spiky here because he's just jealous that you've got friends to go away with on New Year's Eve.
And the board games.
I'll give her that. She won the board games. I will give her that. I do think, though, you know, as well, Ella, you've got to enjoy this New Year's Eve because next New Year's Eve, you're just going to be dealing with a screaming baby. Like, your fun New Year's Eves are over now, aren't they?
Yeah, you'll be about 2 or 3 months old there. You'll just be dealing with a nice bit of tongue tie, a bit of acid reflux going on.
Oh, yeah.
You won't have slept for three. You won't be celebrating the fact that you stayed up till one next year. You're absolutely screaming about it. And I hope all your friends get back in touch. And I hope when you just drift off next New Year's Eve, you finally get some sleep about two. I hope all those friends bang on your door hammered with the Monopoly board asking for a rematch. And we'll see how you feel about this New Year then. But that was wonderful. And she sounded so happy at the beginning.
She did. I feel bad for taking her down, but that 5K...
No, it's nice that you joined in.
Yeah, I felt bad until the 5K run. Then I thought, no, she deserves everything she gets here.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring it on. It's that time when everybody's making, and hopefully already breaking.
I hope they are, because if you haven't broken your New Year's resolution a week in, then it wasn't hard enough.
Yeah, true. Did you make any?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I have stuck to mine. But I don't usually make them, but my New Year's resolution this year was to make sure I do between 6,000 to 8,000 steps a day.
Okay.
Just cause, like I said, I want a healthier year. And despite having the word stand up in our job titles, we do sit down quite a lot, don't we, in our jobs?
My daughter had a play date this week with another kid who came round and had done 14,000 steps.
Wow.
By just after school. And I think I'd done 3,500. It's humiliating.
It's not thousands, just 3,500 steps.
You have to explain to a child. Oh, yeah, no. Well, I sit down a lot during the day, you see. Yeah, 6 to 8's good.
6 to 8, apparently, for somebody of my age, which is, this is a big year for me, John. I'm going to be 50 this year.
Yeah,
so
great.
For someone my age, 6,000 to 8,000, apparently, and this is a direct quote from what I read, helps to prevent premature death. So that's got to be a good thing, right?
Isn't that the goal of everything?
Well, you'd think. And also, I would argue that if you die because you're unhealthy, then that death wasn't premature. It was bang on time. Like, if you get knocked over by a car, that's premature, you know? Yeah. But if it's because you've eaten Finder's Crispy Pancakes for 40 years, then that's not premature. That's just on
When did
on
you
time.
Last have a Finder's Crispy Pancake?
Do they even still make them?
They do. Yeah. The packaging's changed, but they're still out there.
Do they still taste like... Do they have that lovely... slimy bit on the inside of a Finder's Crispy Pancake.
What do you make it sound? Have we got an official sponsor yet? If you like a little bit of slime on the inside of your processed slop.
Matt and I went to a really nice restaurant in Brighton once, and they brought us these, it was like one of those taster menus, you know, where you just sort of get loads of courses. And they brought us this course and it was like this sort of really posh ham and cheese. And but it tasted like a Finder's Crispy Pancake, but in a really good way. And I said it to the waiter.
To the chef.
And he just looked at me like, yeah, I'm not saying that to the chef. Yeah, I was like, no, but in a good way.
I'm the nicest Finder's Crispy Pancake I've ever had, by the way. I made a New Year's resolution that I can't act on because it's so New Year's-y. I'm going to wait. It's like, if you try and book a snooker table when the World Snooker Championships is on, you tell the minute they pick up the phone, they're like, oh, you're one of them. You're going to be in for the next week and we won't see you again. It's to start doing yoga.
The yoga classes will be rammed.
I went to send the email. I was like, I'm not going to be another mid-40s man emailing a yoga instructor to say, I just want to be more flexible.
I can't take yoga seriously. Because, like, I do Pilates because it feels like yoga without the pretension a little bit.
Well,
like,
it's all the spirituality I think we would agree I need as well, though, don't I?
Getting the bile out. I don't need that. They say things like, relax your knees. Relax your knees. Really, how do you relax your knees? They made a bone.
Got very tense knees. Now, the show's New Year's resolution, off the back of your valiant attempt to break a world record last year, we had Joanne Brent came in from Guinness. We've already played out the clip. It was an abject failure, but Joanne
you said valiant, I think, just then. We'll stick with that.
I did, yeah. I think the way you braved out how poor an attempt it was valiant.
My favourite moment was when I said to you, it hasn't put me off Ferrero Rocher, and you said you've only had three.
Joanne was beautifully acerbic, rude to you in a way that I hadn't expected her to be. And I think that's an energy I want to carry on. She's happy to come back. So
she's coming back great.
I think we should set a goal that this show will be in the next edition, the 2027 edition of the Guinness World Records. I think we should get in there somehow.
We can do that.
So I've had a quick Google. Next week I'm going to eat a lemon due to having lost the music quiz. There is not a specific Guinness World Record for eating lemons in a minute, but Ashrita Furman holds the record for the fastest time to peel and eat a lemon, 8.25 seconds.
Ooh, John.
Jim Lingvild ate three lemons in 28.5 seconds. So I'm not going to do that, but if you've got a suggestion of a world record that you think we could have a pop at or you want to help us out, email john@absoluteradio.co.uk and we will do our very best by the end of this year to have broken a world record live on air.
That's the sound of literal. Police. That's the sound of
literal.
Police.
This is the literal police. We aim to stamp out the incorrect use of the word literally from the English language. Of course, we rely on you to report offences that you see. This week, Dean has been in touch with something he spotted.
Hi, John. For a start, I need to say I love the show, especially the literal police, which is exactly why I'm contacting you. I was watching Countryfile recently and Matt Baker was making festive Cornish pasties. He said that there was literally everything you could think of in the pasty he was making. He's either a man with very little imagination or he deserves to go to literal jail. Cheers, Dean.
I mean, you don't want to know some of the things I could think of that could go in that pasty. Not broadcastable,
John. No, I do not.
John.
No, I do not. I mean, it sounds like an open and shut case, very much like a pasty.
Beautifully done, John. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
I tell you what, though, he's hinted at a defence there that I hadn't spotted, that if it's all the things he can imagine, perhaps he can only imagine beef and cranberries or whatever else is probably
but
in this
But he does
thing.
Other things in his life, so he must be able to think about other things.
He can think of a chair, can't he?
Yeah,
he remembers the Vauxhall Nova.
He can think about himself, and he hasn't put himself in there.
Maybe he has. Let's find out. Let's hear the offence.
Don't want to go too much, because obviously we got to get all these layers in.
Oh, I mean, that is the taste of Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything you could think of.
Now, is there a defence here in that that is referring to literally everything you could think of about Christmas? However, that's not really a defence, because I can think about tinsel, and I don't think he put that in there.
Yeah, but it's not the taste of Christmas, though, is it, tinsel?
Taste of Christmas, everything you can think of.
I've Googled Matt Baker, festive pasty. He and Anita Rani visited Cornwall, making pastries with festive fillings like turkey, stuffing, bacon and cranberry sauce.
You know what's not in there?
Now,
mince pies.
Mince pies not in there. Brussels sprouts not in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brussels sprouts not in there. Gravy's not in there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing our best because he seems like a nice man, doesn't he? And
Matt
I really
Baker.
Liked the noise he made.
It's
very Wallace and Gromit, that, isn't it?
Lovely.
So with the caveat that when he gets out of literal prison, he will have work as the next voice of Wallace. I'm afraid for saying that literally everything is in the pasty. When it isn't, Matt Baker goes to literal prison. Now...
Oh, I'm nervous.
Angela
about this one.
You may have picked up on a slight tension in the studio this morning, because all Dave will say is that this one is very close to home. He hasn't said, is it one of us? It's clearly someone we know. It's a nomination
nervous.
That comes from Paul, and, well, let's just get it over and done with.
Oh, hi, John. I have a literal offence to report, and it comes from someone you know very well, who is a well respected literal police officer. I was watching an episode of Most Dangerous Roads with Rod Gilbert and Angela Barnes, and I hate to say, I think Angela committed a literal crime.
Oh, no.
After a quarter of the way through, there was a local who was carrying some foliage. Angela said he was literally in disguise. He wasn't John, he was just carrying out some manual labour, albeit in a dual carriageway. I am disappointed that such an authoritative figure flouts a rule so blatantly. Over to you. Cheers, Paul.
Oh no!
Oh, I love Paul.
I know exactly which bit it is as well. We were driving along in on the Italian Alps, and there was a guy who was carrying a tree. It was like that bit in Macbeth, you know, the Burnham Wood.
Oh, we don't need to relive it. Let's hear the offence. Okay. Let's play it out.
Whoa, man with a hedge on his back.
He was literally in disguise.
Yeah, he wanted disguise as a hedge.
See, even Rod agreed with me. Yes, he was in disguise as a hedge.
I don't know how I feel. Hearing it back, was he visible at all?
Only the hedge part was visible, hence so I nearly run him over.
you couldn't see arms or legs or anything?
No.
Because Paul's tone of voice when he said he wasn't John, he was just doing some manual labour.
Well, you could see it from the camera's point of view. You could see it was a man carrying a... But from where we were in the car...
So you're telling me now, I'm relying on you and your honesty here, because that's the dictionary definition of in disguise, to hide one's true identity by changing appearance or by appearing as something else entirely.
To be fair, what we don't know is that man's intention. Was he intending to disguise himself or not? And if he was, then I think I get away with it. But if he wasn't...
Well, it says to avoid recognition as well. So maybe he just, you know, maybe he didn't want to be on Dave's Most Dangerous Roads.
World's Most Dangerous Roads on Dave. Like, Dave didn't... Yeah. It's on Dave's
he saw you
Most
coming.
Dangerous
Roads. Oh, yeah, Dave didn't build the roads. I should make it clear. I'm going to let you go free, Angela, because of your defence. And if he was literally in disguise, he was literally trying to appear as something else to avoid recognition, then he was literally in disguise.
The only way we can prove that is to ask the man.
I'll hunt him down. If you're asking me to go to Italy and to research one segment of this show, you know, you email the bosses.
They'll pay for that, won't they, Dave? Yeah, Dave said yeah.
Paul's. If I've let you down, Paul, feel free to get back in touch. Or if you also saw the show and you think I've been too kind to Angela, you know me. I'm only too happy to imprison my friends. So send in extra information. If you spot a new offence, Literal Police will be back next week. It's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And it's that time of the week when we discuss some of the news that wasn't in the main news headlines, but could, would, or should have been in the news. Might have made it a bit nicer to listen to.
Yeah, it's a bit bleak.
I mean, it's not their main function, is it? Their remit is not to entertain in news.
No, it's to educate and inform. We do the entertaining, John.
It's for us to find the silliest stuff. This one, it's partly terrifying that this can happen. A man has been left gobsmacked. Gobsmacked.
Oh,
not literally.
Not smacked in the gob.
Not punched in the face. No. Not punched in the face. After discovering he has a secret twin brother living just minutes away from his home. Imagine finding out that you've got a twin.
How old is he?
So he's 25. He was adopted at 5. So he was in foster care and then was adopted by a family about 5. So he's had 20 years living with a lovely family. He's got siblings. He's married. Mm. He met his wife, Chloe, at a boxing club. They used to sort of have a laugh together. Yeah, she said, "I've had enough of you winding me up. Get in the ring, let's have a fight." And then they got married.
That age-old story.
Yeah, I mean, most couples do it the other way around. They sort of
end up
fall in love
ring.
With each other and then just have, mild aggression for the next 20 years. Anyway, he's happily married. He's had a lovely life. He's very happy. He says, I was very lucky. I was adopted by a lovely family. I've got no trauma from being in care at all.
Lovely.
Comes home from work one day. Chloe's upstairs on the bed.
Right.
Floods of tears.
Oh, no.
Absolute floods of tears. He says, "What's wrong?" She says, "You've been cheating on me." And I know you have. Gets photos out from her phone of him sat at a cafe with another woman, kissing and cuddling, and that all canoodling with this other woman.
Right.
He said, "I was dumbfounded. The man in the picture was identical to me, my complete double in every feature." Have you ever had that? Have you seen?
What, have I ever been caught cheating? No, John, I've always got away with it.
It doesn't say who the woman was in the picture, does it? Actually, she gets away scot-free. Could have been Angela Barnes, we don't know, do we?
I was once
at an airport and I saw a man who looked so similar to me that I thought it was me for like half a second.
Really?
I thought
that's future me come to tell me something.
I just thought it was like a parallel universe. I looked down and I thought, there's me down there having a sandwich. And then I thought, it can't be me because I'm me.
I think I have such a poor idea of what I look like that I wouldn't recognise me if I walked in the room right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
I don't... What I think I look like in my head and the reality, I don't think match up very well.
So you you would be pleased with the person that walked in, because you think, oh, actually, you think you have a lower opinion of yourself than
I think
the
I've got a low. I hope. Well, I don't know now. Yeah, I think I've got.
I think I've gone.
Because I'm
other
worried
way.
Now that you're thinking, like, crikey, how low is she in her head?
No, I was thinking, because if you ever see yourself, I was very fortunate to play in a charity game last year at Sheffield United.
Oh yeah. And,
I didn't realise it had been like webcast, so Sheffield United fans across the world could pay a fiver to watch, and it all went in the charity pot. And I thought, well, I'll have a little look back. I think I only played about half an hour or something like that. And I logged in and I thought, oh, this can't be the bit I'm playing, because there's a fat bald man in my position. And then I realised it was me. It was absolutely mortifying. Anyway, so he says, I mean, what a fortunate thing this is. He said, I logged into the CCTV from my workplace and was able to prove that I'd been on site all day. So that it put to bed quite quickly. I think there's a level of insecurity that you would just think, oh, well, I have done that. I don't remember doing it.
Yeah, right.
How awful of me.
Oh, no.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah. I worry like that a nice that's time. Something I did, you know, after I had that operation, and I can't remember doing this, an entire show on this station.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, there's a reason. Yeah, we've told you Will's off on a cruise, but there's another reason he's off. You behaved quite inappropriately, to be honest, that week. We've logged on to the CCTV. We've sent it to Matt. I just told him it was your long-lost sister. It's all fine. We've sorted it out for you. You're
thanks,
on some
mate.
Heavy meds. It's fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. All's well that ends well. Everybody's happy. Chloe's not in tears anymore. And good. He's found his brother. Angela, what have you seen?
Well, I'm going to also start with the disclaimer that this ends okay. Because
yes.
It sounds like a much darker story than it is when I say the first line of it is that it's about a missing airplane. But
okay.
I want to... It's a missing cargo plane.
Right.
And what happened, this is in an airport in Kolkata, right? There was an aircraft, and I'm not talking, when I first read this story about a missing aircraft, I thought if an airline is going to lose an aircraft, it must be quite a small one. But no, this is a Boeing 737, right? It's a big one.
Wow.
And what happened, Kolkata airport, it was... in a parking bay. Apparently they have parking bays for aeroplanes. I wonder actually if they're cheaper than the car park for your car. Possibly. I might park in an aeroplane bay next time. But anyway, so they found this aeroplane and it belonged to Air India. So they kept sending invoices to Air India about this plane that they've got parked at this airport for 12 years. And Air India kept going, it's not our plane, it's not... Anyway, it turns out it is their plane. They'd just forgotten about it.
Wow.
An entire plane. And they'd racked up something like £83,000 worth of parking debt for a plane that they left at an airport for 12 years.
I don't want to do the fly-tipping pun, but do you think they just didn't want it? And they were like, oh, we'll stick it, park it up there, see if anyone notices.
Maybe it was just a middle-aged woman parked it, because I know now, like, you open the photo app on my phone, it's just photos of car parks so I can remember where I parked my car. So maybe a middle-aged woman parked it, forgot to take a photo, and just went, oh, well, I'll have to buy a new plane now. Because there's times when I've thought, oh, well, I'll just have to get a new car.
I take a lot of those pictures and I swear I'll go back and delete them, and then you don't. You just find them ages later. It looks terrible. Like, what was your holiday like? Well, that's where we parked.
you know how on your phone every now and then it's like, it's a little slideshow for you. And you just get all this sort of romantic, soppy music and just a load of car parks.
Yeah, screen grabs of messages that you need to reply to. I will text you back at some point. Do you go as far as to, if you walk into a multi-story car park, would you, for example... try and park on like level A for Angela or something like that? Or would you park on the your birthday number or something?
No, I park wherever I can get a space, but then I take a photo of the car, where it is. I take a photo of the number, of the level that I'm on, and then I take a photo, crucially, this is a bit people forget, of the exit to where you're going. Because these car parks have more than one entrance and exit. And sometimes I go in the wrong one and then I'm completely discombobulated. I don't know where I'm facing, where I am. So I just take lots of photos.
So any pilots listening, take a picture of the plane you've just got out of,
yep.
The airport you've parked it at,
yep.
And text that straight to the airline to say, that's where I've left it.
Yeah,
pick it up in the next 12 years. That's a sign we've got enough planes, isn't it? All this airport expansion.
Right.
If you could lose a plane, we're doing all right airport-wise, aren't we? Now, Absolute Radio's very own. He's on Tom Cruise's Christmas cake list for a reason.
You won't let that go, will you?
He's the maestro. I've been thinking about it a lot over Christmas, which suggests I haven't quite dealt with it. Dave Berry. If he was a berry, he'd be a blueberry. It'd be delicious. He's packed with goodness.
And he's very rude.
It's a blue. Oh, yeah. That took me a minute. Dave Berry has become obsessed with the darts over the festive break. Mm. He's got
that's
really
sort of your thing,
him.
John, isn't it?
Well, sort of it was my there. Thing. Yeah, I don't really have things. You know, you get known for a thing, it causes you trouble. Now, Dave has brought his love of the darts to Absolute Radio, and he's launched the three dart challenge. Mm. Right now, the challenge is very simple. Dave set up a dartboard and a Nokia at Absolute Radio. Each presenter, you get three darts. That's it.
Right.
You get three darts. Whoever gets the highest score is Absolute Radio's ultimate darts champion.
Wow.
I couldn't be less happy about this.
It's so funny because people, regular listeners, will know that you're a big fan of the darts, right?
And
I've been trying to get on board with the darts. I listen to Russ Bray's audiobook. I'm sort of trying to learn dart maths and all of that. And people would assume that you'd be the one excited about this and I'd be the one nervous. Actually, I'm not nervous because I've got nothing to look like. No one's expecting me to even hit the dartboard. It's fine, no pressure. But you, John, have talked the talk. Now you've got to walk the walk.
Well, as well, I'm at an awful point where I've played enough that I would expect to do better than somebody, for example, who's never played before. Mm. But that's not the case because I will aim for 20, as is my wont, and I will, as a result, hit 1 and 5 a lot. Somebody, a less experienced player, I'm trying to be polite.
You mean
someone,
me?
You, yeah. You are going to, javelin style, take a run up and wang three darts roughly in the direction of the board.
Yeah.
And if you accidentally hit a treble 19 or a double 18, you're probably going to beat me.
Yeah.
And that's going to upset me for a very long time.
I wonder if that happens, how long I will remain on this show.
Well, I can feel you'll be holding three darts. So you'll probably last a little bit until you put the darts down, at least. I went upstairs. This is a stupid thing to say. Mm. This is a stupid thing to put out there. But when I heard about this, I thought, right, let's go up and see. And I would say I threw for 3 or 4 minutes.
Right.
And I hit a 180. Well, I sent you a picture of it.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of it.
There's just no way that this... I can feel it. I can feel that I'm going to score 26. I just know it.
Is that a bed and breakfast?
Bed and breakfast,
Some
people call it beans. 2 and 6. I will take part. You're taking part as well.
Yep.
Fordy's taking part. All the presenters across the station will be taking part. To make it extra competitive, the listener, you, can vote for which presenter you think will score the highest. Now,
I mean, my money's on you, John. It is.
I would not back me at all. At all, because I tell you, around
this is
that
all the disclaimers going in. This is really this is what they say, isn't it? Before you win, oh no, I'm terrible at it, and then you just go and be brilliant.
No, I'm telling you now, I'm going to be terrible. But as if it weren't pressure enough, if you correctly identify the person who scores the highest, you will win £1,000 to spend at Wix. And Wix will also donate £5,000 to the winning presenter to donate to a charity of their choice.
Amazing.
I mean, how could you make it any more pressured? Somebody can win £1,000. A charity can win £5,000. You're small and you've got nothing else going on in your life. Stay tuned across the next few weeks to find out how everyone gets on.
I'm going to do it blindfolded, John, just to annoy you.
If you throw a no-look 180, that will be the highlight of our broadcasting careers. Well, that's got to be a world record, surely. If you want to have a little vote or get involved, have a look at who is available to vote for. It's absoluteradio.co.uk. So as another exciting edition of the John Richardson Show draws to a close, it behooves me. Is that right?
Behooves me.
It behooves me to let you know.
Is that?
I've just run at it.
I mean, if you'd done it with more confidence, I wouldn't have even questioned it.
Well, you can't do that when you inspire your listenership to be the sort of pernickety person that would take somebody up on. Anyway, I'm just going to put it out there and see what comes back next week. It behooves me to let you know that there is a podcast available of this show for anybody who wasn't available to listen to the full glorious 3 hours. Of course, you can go back and listen to the full 3 hours if you like.
If it behooves you to do so.
Dave, you're nodding. Have I got away with that?
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. I'm very relieved there. The podcast needs a title that sums up some of the great chat, the classic bants that has occurred on today's show. What do you reckon, Angela?
I've got a couple. John's 70s living room. Or to unite two parts of the show, I've got Suck It in Disguise.
Oh, okay.
Suck It Dry. Well,
I love that's been clipped already.
Dave has clearly received the full notes from Will about humiliating me at any level. I mean, I said it. That's the worst thing. I liked the I Love You Bot, so I was trying to think of some sort of pun on handbags and glad rags that ended up with poo bags.
Nice.
I couldn't remember if you'd referenced a handbag at some point, so I was going to say the handbags and the poo bags, but I think that was something else.
No.
I think that was someone else I was talking to in another life. Perhaps it was my twin brother. What was your first one? Because I think the second one might get us into trouble.
What, John's 70s living room?
Right, let's go with John's 70s living room. Bracket Suck It Dry.
Yeah, why not? Let's go full innuendo.
All that remains is my on-air appraisal of everybody's performance, which I just think is a lovely way to end the show.
Yeah, I love it.
So I think it's important to look back at things that we've done well today and things that we could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Angela, very interesting. The last time I saw you, you were so heavily medicated after your operation that I felt like I had to be nice to you.
Right. So you're going to make
and
up
it was
for that
wasted.
Now,
yeah. Well, because you said you didn't remember
wasted.
It anyway. So, it just proves that there's no point being nice because nobody remembers it. But it's been wonderful to see you.
Thanks, John.
I did like your news that wasn't news that could, would or should have been in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset that you made a cake and didn't think that you were smug about having made a cake, but you didn't think to bring any in.
That wasn't
slightly offensive to me. So I think in future, I would say if you are going to reference delicious foods on the show, do need to bring them in.
Can I just say, John, the cake wasn't vegan.
Okay, well, even worse then. So this,
so
this torture cake
that
you made.
I can only do vegan cooking in my own home now, just in case John Richardson wants to sample some. Okay,
yes,
no,
thank
no
you.
Taken.
I'm glad we've agreed that that's what needs to happen going forward. But broadly speaking, I've enjoyed your work, and
Thanks,
I look forward to seeing how you develop over 2026. Dave, you're wearing a smashing top. I've really enjoyed what you're wearing today. Little sneaky problem with some of the computers in the studio resolved immediately.
He was really on it. Like, we just carried on talking. He was just bang, bang, bang around the studio.
He's been really, really calm, hasn't he? Really calm.
Not like when Will and Charlie are in here. It's chaos.
Which brings us to the performance of Will and Charlie, neither of whom have been here this week. So therefore are on the chopping block, really. I mean, we could have ended this week with Will and Charlie on a disciplinary and you in literary prison. So I just think it's a sign that start of 2026, people need to up their game, really.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I think I've been amazing. Suck It Dry. Right. Okay, Dave, you've just actually gone below Will there. I don't know how you've managed that, given that Will hasn't even been here, but you've just gone below him in the hierarchy. But it has been wonderful. Again, voice notes, exceptional. Thank you for all that you've
Some
sent
great
to us
accent work today as well from the voice
Some really
notes.
Nice accents. A good, do you know what I liked as well? The somber tone to the Literal Police nominations. Yeah. There was a real sort of disappointment there that people are still having to be brought to book.
Well, that's what you want. You don't want your police officers to be gleeful they need to bring the right tone to the occasion.
So keep those coming in. Literal Police will be back next week, and thank you for listening. Have a wonderful, I'm not going to say it because I've been told by Angela it's too late, but enjoy the fresh start to the calendar.
I'll let it go
for this week. Sarah is standing by. Sarah Champion up next. Rock and Roll Football with 40 and Dice, and Andy Bush is in Didisco, and Claire Sturgis back with the Rock Party. It's a cracking day on Absolute. Enjoy every second of it. Thank you for your company. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
There we go. That was this week's podcast. There will be another next week, or you can hear the full show on Absolute Radio Saturday
morning. I don't know if you should say there will be another next week, John. We don't know that for sure, do we?
No, that's true. Well, there will be something on Absolute Radio next Saturday at 8 a.m. It remains to be seen whether it's us or whether John's 70s living room was a bridge too far for the powers that be. If you want to join in on anything you've heard, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Otherwise, have a fantastic week and thank you for your company. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, John.
Toodle pip.
Bye.